Good morning, everyone. Y'all come on in. It's Q&A day. Get my notes pulled up so we can talk about how we're going to close out excuses. This has been No Excuses Month. Has anybody been having any success? I would love to see it in the chat. If you've had any success this month in facing down some of your common excuses, just like it's getting easier to hear them. I'm noticing they're not as controlling. I'm able to say no to them more often. Like any kind of success, I would like to know. Hang on, I gotta get my notes correct. Okay, I think I got it. All right, let's see what y'all got in the comments. It's definitely becoming easier to notice when the excuses are popping up. Okay, good, Jen, because that's gonna be the first phase is we have to get used to hearing them. Like you've got to. Progress happens in a thousand ways, everyone. Sometimes what ends up happening is we want progress to be, well, I'm just not listening to my excuses. It's like, well, good fucking luck. If you've been like using them most of your life, they're not going to stop coming. Like the first phase is we really have to understand our excuses. You can't stop following them until you actually know it's an excuse and not a reason. So we've been talking about that all month long about the difference between a solid reason and an excuse. An excuse is one of those things that we're using to not do something that we know we really could do if we needed to. Like if it was $50,000 on the line, you could make it happen. A reason is something that you don't regret. You do it because you know at the end of the day, that was the best thing to do. It might not be the one thing you wanted to do, but it was literally the best thing that you could do in the moment. So we want to make sure that we're listening to those. I discovered my big excuse why I haven't lost weight in 18 months. Now I can tell old shitty no and not eat. Good. My urges will always be there. I am getting stronger at letting them move through without acting on them. Good. Anybody else have any insights? My success is coming from my discovery worksheets. They worked 5 years ago and excuses kept the grab assing in progress. So really look at grab assing, y'all, because to me, grab assing is one of those things, like if we're just grabbing food and we're popping it in our mouth, that is one of the easiest food habits to break. And let me tell you why. When we're just grab assing, when we're just like, I'm just going to take these leftovers. I'm just going to finish this little bits in the pan and stuff. If it's not emotionally based, it will not be hard to give it up. When it's not emotion, like if you're not getting a real emotional payoff from it, then it would just make sense to not do it. Like when you just got to now get good at catching yourself from doing it, like, oh yeah, I'm working on breaking that habit. It's not going to do that. It's just like if you, for some reason, we placed a bet and you needed to start brushing your teeth with the opposite hand you always do, then it's not like you're not going to want to do it with say you're right-handed. It's not like you're not going to want to do it with your right hand. It's not like you're not going to sit there and think this is stupid or whatever. In those moments, your brain is going to be like, no, we should just really do it with our right hand. But because you have a really good incentive, and you're not like tying your self-worth to how you brush your teeth with your right hand. It's really easy to say, like, no, we're going to do it with our left hand. That's what we're doing now. Let's get on board. When there's an emotional payoff, then, and you're having a hard time letting it go, we need to find out what the emotional payoff is for you. Because if it's literally just a mindless or a habit type thing that you're doing, overcoming the excuses is very simple because you're not married to the behavior. If you're married to the behavior, there'll be some moaning, some groaning, so I don't want to, and this is why, and it would just be so hard. It's like nothing we're changing any. I want y'all, all of you, to think about this. If we were all sitting around and talking to naturally thin people from a different country that just don't have any of the thoughts that we have about food. They don't even have access to food like we do. I want you to imagine we're talking to them and we're saying, like, you just don't know. It is going to be so hard to go to a birthday party and not have cake. They'd be like, what are you talking about? You just don't eat cake. Like, why would that be so hard? It's like, well, everybody else would be eating it. And they'd be like, okay, but why would that be hard? They would want to know that. I want you to think about if we were talking to people who were just like thin from a different country, they don't operate like us, they would not understand why we are just like, I need to hire a coach and I need to do all these things. And they would think we had flowers growing out of our head. Okay. That's why we want to think about, why is it so hard for me to give this up? And that is a really good question to be asking as you are getting to the root of your excuses. Excuses are just making it easy to not give something up. Excuses make it easy to do something the same way versus doing it differently. Excuses are there so that you don't have to figure out, why is this uniquely hard for me? Because if another person could just be like, I'm just going to stop doing that, that's not going to be that hard for me. We want to know, what is the difference? It is not because of the food. And it won't even be because of your past. A lot of you won't be like, well, it's because we have very different pasts. It's like, no, it's because that person doesn't think about their past. They're thinking about what they want next in life. That will be the big difference between you two. Some of you go to your past as a reason why you can't do things. And then people who are successful, they go to their future and what they want and figure out, how am I going to get that? That's the only difference. So I need all of y'all to, like, when we're thinking about our excuses, I want you asking that powerful question is like, if I have something in no BS, like, I know I do not need a nighttime snack. I may want one. I may be used to eating it. I may have 1,000 excuses for it because, like, I've had a long day and I deserve it and all this other stuff. We need to ask the question, why is it so hard for me to let this go? Because usually when you keep digging and you keep asking yourself, why is this so hard for me? You are going to find the reason why you won't let it grow. And a lot of you will be like, then you'll be like, I will feel deprived. And then you need to ask, deprived of what? Because it's not the food. I want to say that one more time. You won't be feeling deprived because you can't have the food. You will be feeling deprived because when you eat that, you feel something and you're going to be deprived of that feeling. So if you're eating at night to relax, and then we take the food away, you're not deprived of the food. You are now deprived of the relaxation the food was representing. And we need to know that, because what we want to do in order to have a better life is figure out ways you can relax in your mind around the things that are jacking you up. We want to figure that stuff out, because then you have a better life. You just don't have a life on repeat. It's like, I got to be jacked up unnecessarily all the time, worrying, anguishing, in hypothetical hell, anticipating the worst, catastrophizing, reading other people's minds, and it's always a shit show. I don't want you living that life all day long just so you can get to the evening and then eat to relax. What I want for you as your weight loss coach is what I went through. When I lost my weight, it was because I lost the mental weight. The day that I realized eating ice cream at night was the only way that I could feel like I had a normal life, my entire day was spent with my son. I had been someone who worked from the age of 12. I mean, I had practically raised my brother until 12, but I just started getting paid at the age of 12. When I would go in, I spent one summer babysitting a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, an entire summer from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, in a very small apartment, an 800 square foot apartment, I might add. We were not allowed to go outside. It was a tough fucking summer for a 12-year-old. And I remember sitting there on the couch one night, eating my ice cream, and I had been slowly reducing how much I was eating while I was also trying to figure out why I needed it so much. And I realized It is because I don't feel like I have anything for me all day long. I am just living for my son. And I am like, we couldn't go places. He didn't like going places. So I was feeling very trapped. I felt like I didn't know I felt like my life wasn't purposeful anymore. I was like, I know I'm supposed to raise this child, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. There was just so much going on for me. And I wasn't even noticing it. I just thought I was tired at the end of the day because I had a baby and that I'm going to eat ice cream because of it. And then I started really pulling it apart. And I thought about, if I wasn't eating ice cream, what would be happening? I would be sitting there feeling purposeless. I would be dreading the next day. I would be thinking that there was nothing for me other than another day of changing diapers. I would feel like I wanted to go to start going to the gym and stuff. And even that, I was just like, I would feel guilty because my husband worked all day long. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to ask him to take over at night. Like, what the hell? I'm a bad wife. If I didn't eat ice cream, that was my evening. It made sense to me finally why I was having such a hard time giving up nighttime eating. And when I figured that out, I was like, now I know what I need in life. It's not another bowl of ice cream. I got to figure out, how am I going to have some purpose in my life? I got to figure out how to bravely ask for help, even if I felt selfish asking for it. I had to have an honest conversation with my husband about what was really going on inside of me. I had to admit that I was more depressed than I was letting on to people. And when I started doing that, my life started getting better. And guess what? I did not need as much food. It was becoming really easy for me to be like, you know what? I'm really working on myself. I think I'm just going to stop eating this ice cream and shit at night. I don't even think I need a snack anymore at night. Because when I was sitting there at night after getting some help and doing some work, I actually could relax. I could look back on my day and think like, man, you're really killing it these days. I could look forward to knowing that I was actually going to have a little bit of help. Chris wasn't, I will just say this, and I don't want all y'all to come after my man because I love my man. We celebrated yesterday. I don't know if y'all saw on my Instagram account, but he sent me roses yesterday. We usually don't celebrate our wedding anniversary together. It's November 3rd. Logan's birthday is Halloween. Our very first wedding anniversary. My nipples were crusty. I was, you know, still bleeding out my wahoo from having a big ass 9-pound-3/4 baby from my vagina. Like, I was not in the mood to celebrate our wedding anniversary. We ate Outback in to-go containers on a couch while I nursed Logan. That was my big first year anniversary. So we've always celebrated our dating anniversary because we just, for years, everything was about Logan's birthday. And our dating anniversary is October 22nd. And as of yesterday, we started dating 25 years ago. And we were just like, I don't know. We had a good night. Let's put it that way. Chris Crabtree and I were very pleased. But when I was losing weight, I did ask for help, but Chris can only help so much. You know, he was the breadwinner. I had to figure out what help for me was going to look like during the day, how I was going to be helping me. You know, I had a lot of shit around letting Logan watch television. There were just things that I just thought were, this is being a bad, like, I remember spending so much of my days just thinking about what a bad mother I was. I loved Logan, but I didn't enjoy him at all. I didn't want to play little kid games. I was very out of shape, so even trying to play with him wore me out. Like, I remember just wishing he would take a nap. Like, and I would spend my entire day just tired, dreading the next thing. And it wasn't even like the exhaustion of taking care of a baby. It was the exhaustion I felt from being so disappointed in myself so ashamed of everything that I thought, feeling so guilty for not enjoying him more. That I was exhausted over. And I tell all of y'all this because it's so important to figure out what your excuses are, because your excuses very often are masking that deeper level shit we can get to that can help you change your life. Because no, I don't want you feeling deprived. But it's not that I don't want you feeling deprived because you're not going to have ice cream. I don't want you feeling deprived anymore in life because you don't know how to ask for help. I don't want you feeling deprived anymore in life because you feel like no one, including you, loves you. I don't want you deprived of those things. That's the real deprivation that we're all suffering from. So anytime for all of you, when your brain wants to offer up the excuse, I will be deprived, I want you to ask yourself, other than food, of what? If I don't get this, I will like be deprived of what? Is it other people's approval? Is it fitting in with everyone? Is it relaxation? Is it a break? That's what we have to do. That is why you're in no BS. You are not going to be working on this kind of stuff with any other diet program. And I will say it till I'm blue in the face. This is the way the diet industry has got to change. Women cannot just keep losing weight and keeping a life that is unsettled, that is hard for them, where they're just getting by, and they're at the bottom of their own priority list. Okay. I think some of the stuff I must be saying is like really resonating because y'all are like, I keep seeing the blowed head emoji up in chat. All right, let me do a couple of announcements, then we'll get into the last few things I want to say on overriding your excuses all the way down the scale. The first thing is, do not forget, this Sunday is the holiday workshop. It's our holiday workshop where we are going to talk about how we are going to lose 10 pounds at least between now and January 1. My goal is 100% of you figure out how to start the new year on track, ready to go, with momentum behind your back. I do not want a membership full of women who are just like, ah, I just set it all aside, decided to gain some weight. Let me say this. In years past, the way I've taught this is if you want to gain weight during the holidays, you can. I am still fine with that. We are just not focusing on that for the holidays. We are going to be very focused on the weight loss. If you want to gain weight during the holidays, plan it and do it intentionally. That's all I'm saying. What I don't want is a bunch of women gaining weight through the holidays because they're using the excuse of, I'm going to be too busy. The holidays fucking come every year. You might as well learn how to eat around them where it doesn't require you to gain weight. Because this is what I want to tell all of you, and we'll talk more about it this weekend. Y'all, there are not that many eating occasions. The people who are gaining weight during the holidays, it is not because they enjoy themselves on, like, I'm just going to go with the general holidays. Because of Thanksgiving. Whether it's Canadian, I think Canadian Thanksgiving was like last week or something like that. I don't know. Coach Lisa is our Canadian on our team. She's not here, so I can't even ask her. But let's just say Thanksgiving. Let's say you celebrate, whether you celebrate Christmas or the Jewish holidays, whichever holidays you're celebrating. I think Ramadan even falls in, like, you know, in this whole calendar. Whatever it is that you're celebrating, you're not going to gain a lot of weight because you eat around a special holiday. But if you are eating all of the things that are offered to you, you're not thinking through things, and you are eating because everybody else is, and you're eating because you're triggered, and you're eating because you're stressed, and you're not setting your environment up, and you give up planning, and you're doing all these things, that to me is unacceptable. You know why? Because you wake up in January not happy with yourself. When we gain weight because we just turned it off and we just emotionally ate, we're never happy at the end because we know that we suffered our way through weight gain. And that is what happens. You're suffering your way through your weight gain. I don't want you suffering through weight loss or weight gain. So if you are going to gain some weight, I want it to be because you're like, I picked all these holidays and I have a lot of parties and stuff, and I really do want to eat at all of them, and some weight gain would be okay with me. This is meaningful, but I'm not going to emotionally eat. I have just really thought about it. And for me, this would make me very happy. I'm not eating because somebody said, because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I'm not eating for those reasons. Like, we just happen to throw down in my family a lot. Like, we do like 20 parties, Corinne, and everybody does bring the special food. And it is the only time that we do this during the year. And I've decided it's worth gaining some weight for it. That I'm fine with. That's not an excuse. That is a reasoned approach. And you may, like, at the end be just like, oh, I've gained some weight. And we might have some of the usual chatter, but you will have no problem getting started. You won't be overcoming emotional eating. You will just be getting your holiday bloat off. Very different. But we're going to be really focused on how we're going to lose weight, because there's no time like the holidays to learn how to manage your emotions in your mind. It is the best time of year to work on other people's opinions of you. It is the best time of year to work on being in pictures rather than avoiding them. So here's some of the things we're going to be doing. We're going to have the workshop on Sunday. It starts at 10 a.m. Central Time. It will end around 3 p.m. Central Time. We are going to spend 5 hours learning how to lose weight the holiday season. And then all of November and December, we're going to be doing very special themed calls with for all of the holiday challenges. Okay. Replays, of course, will be in the membership. Nobody has to go, oh my God, I can't come on Sunday. I guess I'm out of luck. Bitches, you are not ever out of luck. When have we not given y'all a replay of something in this membership? Most of the time people complain we have too many replays. So you never have to worry that you ain't going to get the freaking replay. Okay. So we will be doing it live. If you want to do it with me, you can do it this Sunday. If you do not want to do it live, don't worry. You will get your replays and we will break them up into lessons. It's going to take our team a few days to get it all broke up. It doesn't take as long as the camp videos, but it will take them a few days because we are going to make sure that everything that we include in the final package for you, your course, that it's very targeted. So if I go off topic or I get to coaching somebody on something that doesn't really apply, we're going to pull that out just so that the course itself for the Holiday 10 is going to work for you. I also want to tell you, I wrote this in such a way that you really could take this at any time during the year. This is not like it's holiday themed, but it's literally anytime you like really need to work on some of the things to get ready, you could use it. I did the same thing with the New Year's workshop. I've already written it also, and that's coming up. I believe we're doing that on December 29th. You'll get more information about that pretty soon. Okay. We will be talking about how do you stop grab-assing holiday treats. This is what we're going to be doing. Like, that's going to be next Wednesday, October 30th. On Sunday, that following Sunday on November 3rd, Coach MJ will be talking about handling holiday food pushers. And then some of the other special calls that will be going on during November are managing holiday photo and body anxiety. We'll be talking about how to handle your holiday gatherings like a boss, finding joy instead of finding overwhelm during the holidays, and then busting through your three biggest holiday eating obstacles. That is what we're going to be doing throughout the month of November. And we'll have some more special things happening in December too around holidays. Okay. Now what I want to do is I want to tell y'all, if you have any questions, you can put them in the Q&A. Vanessa said, when do I think the replay will be ready? Let's give them a week. Usually we turn it around a lot faster than that, but because I want them to curate these replays, I don't want them to just slap them on in there. Like normally what we do is we just give it to you all. We want to break them down into sections for you. And so that takes our team just a few days to get that turned around and loaded and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So if you have any questions, bad excuses, now's your time to pop them in the Q&A. I will take them. And I'm going to tell y'all a few things that I want to close out this month with. Number one is don't expect excuses to go away just because you worked on them. We have beat that like a drum all month long. Your excuses always just, I want you to count on it like it's a fact. They will pop up. Excuses will always pop up and be loud and clear when you're tired, when you're stressed, when you're worried. Like, I want you to think about when my mental bandwidth is down, I should expect to hear more excuses. When your energy, like this is kind of like in the mornings. Like when you're first planning in the mornings, what are you? Wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. Like it's sometimes like even hard for me to answer the question, what will get in my way today? A lot of times in the morning, I'm like drinking coffee, feeling pretty good, got a good night's sleep. And I'm just like, oh, fucking kill it today. Are you kidding me? There's no excuse getting in my way. That's how I feel in the morning. And then somebody pisses in my Wheaties by 10 o'clock in the morning. And then the weed eaters will be going outside my window. There'll be shit happening. And I'm like, I've had to make 5,000 decisions. And, you know, maybe Chris gives me side eye for no good reason because I, you know, dare walk through the basement or something where he works. And next thing I know, excuses are just depopulating. That's why so many people say they like to work out in the mornings, because in the mornings they can make themselves. In the afternoons, it is a grind. That is the way I am. Like I'm dressed all workout fabulous because I needed no excuses or as little as I could get because I'm not working out till this afternoon based on my calendar today. And I talked myself out of it yesterday. I literally was like, I was going to work out in the afternoon and I was in this class and it was a lot of information. And I was like trying to take notes, keep pace. My brain was exploding with ideas. Like I mentally was challenged all day long. When it was time to go and lift, I'm Marco Polo Jane. I said, I am walking because I know I don't even have it physically in me. I don't want to do a half-assed strength workout. And so I was like, I give myself permission to do it tomorrow, but I know I can only do it tomorrow afternoon. So we're going to be buck up, sister, no matter what the fuck your brain tries to offer. So this is one of the other ways that I like to handle excuses is if I do have to kick the can down the road, I tell myself wherever that can's kicked, the next time we be picking it up. You can do it, but I'm real straight with myself. It's not like, oh, we'll just do it tomorrow. And I'm like, miss optimistic. I'm always like, girl, you're going to do it tomorrow afternoon and you're going to feel no better today than you do right now. I guarantee you tomorrow, you're probably going to have 1,000 excuses, but tomorrow we don't get to use excuses. You want to use your card, your excuse card, you get to use it right now. We don't get to do that tomorrow. And I'm really good at following through. I'm really good at telling myself the next day, I know you didn't want to do it, but you said yesterday you would. Now we're paying yesterday's price. And I have done that for so long that a lot of times I don't listen to my excuses because I don't want to have to deal with it later. So I have very honest conversations with myself. The other thing that I do for excuses is like today, I usually like to dress up for y'all. And I have a business call after this one. And I was just like, you will not want to change your clothes. So you might as well wear your workout clothes because you need nothing standing between you and going to the gym. When it is time to go, we got to be able to just go. I've got to be able to say, can I just get in the car? I don't want to be saying like, well, now I gotta go, you know, change my clothes and blah, blah. Like, I don't know. I've got my earbuds are charging. Everything is laid out on the counter that I need to take with me. My energy drink is sitting over there ready to be downed the second my next call is done and I'm going. So I try to remove barriers. So we want to make sure that we understand that none of the excuses are ever going to go away. We're just going to get really good at knowing when are they most likely to pop up. I'm not going to be surprised by them anymore. I know that my brain is just an excuse machine. It always wants to offer excuses. It will, like anything that feels remotely hard, no matter how many good consequences come from it, your brain is like, I don't give a shit about that future. All I care about is your lazy ass right now. I was like, get that ass on the couch. So much better than what you're wanting to do. And then if for some reason you are having a hard time with an excuse, take it to ask coaches. But they're not going to just like let you go by with like, but it just tastes so good. We want to know, like, what have you been trying? What have you been telling yourself? Take it up a notch. Like, before you go to ask coaches, at least try some stuff. Like, if it tastes so good as your thing, then what have you done to try to work through that? What have you been telling yourself? Just so we know what doesn't work right now for you. Okay, the next big important thing is don't be surprised if your excuses change as you start losing weight. Our excuses, a lot of times, like I used to never think I deserved anything when I first started losing weight. Like, I don't care. Like, I was so overweight that it took a good 50 pounds before I even had the excuse, you can have a little, you've been doing so good. I mean, it literally took like 50 pounds. Up until that point, that excuse just never made sense. It's like, no, we got to lose some weight. We haven't been good for like 20 years. Like, I know I've lost 10 pounds, but that's like my brain was just like, that's a drop in the bucket. What are you talking about? You ain't been good yet. Like, that was not hard. And then once I got to a certain weight, all of a sudden my brain's like, oh my gosh, you've been doing so good. We should like, now we should order some pizza. And I know you haven't hardly been eating pizza that much. Because when I first started losing weight, I was eating pizza and I was like making changes. And then I got to where I was like really into like feeling better. I was noticing that when I ate more vegetables, when I changed some of the food, we weren't eating pizza every night, especially because I was eating like a medium by myself for a long time. Then I cut down to a half a medium. And then I started like monkeying around with that. Then I started adding salad. I finally remember saying to Chris, like, I don't know if I want to be eating pizza every week anymore. And he was like, why? And I said, well, I just feel like I've been eating pizza all my life. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I like how I'm feeling when I'm eating fresher foods and stuff. What do you think about me starting to make these things or we start eating this stuff? And he's just like, oh, whatever. In my mind, I was starting to get really interested in the life I was creating. So I didn't need to hang on so tightly to foods that I had been like thinking I needed. Well, all right. I'll get off about 50 pounds. Then all of a sudden my brain is just like, we should have pizza. This will be fun. You deserve it. You've been doing so good. And I tell you all this because I remember when it started happening, thinking, oh my gosh, I haven't been thinking like this in a long time. Like, it was so crazy to me that my brain was offering up those types of excuses. Like, I hadn't been thinking about anything other than losing weight. And now all of a sudden, it seemed like I was starting to think about acting like my old self some. So I didn't think it was all that deep, to be honest. And I didn't make it that deep. I remember, though, that was the stage when I started thinking, like, I don't want to be thinking like that anymore. And I remember every time those thoughts would come in, I would tell myself, you know, someone who loses all their weight doesn't think about rewarding themselves with pizza for being good. Someone that like loses their weight is probably rewarding themselves in other ways. Like maybe buying the next set of weight dumbbells. Like, I do remember when I was losing weight and, you know, getting into health and fitness, like I wanted to be an exerciser so bad. Like, I just remember my brother always did it. I wanted to be an athlete and all this other stuff. And I kind of gotten into weights and I asked Chris, we had a basement and I said, what do you think about me getting some stuff to put in the basement so I don't always have to go to the gym to work out? That way I could work out at home some. He's like, well, what are you wanting to get? And I said, I don't know, just like some dumbbells and stuff. And he's like, whatever. And I remember getting a Reebok step box and I bought my first set of dumbbells. I bought some fives and some tens. No, actually I bought fives and eights. And that's what I started with. And then as I was losing weight, when I remember thinking about wanting to reward myself with food and saying, no, I want to get more stuff for my little home gym. We didn't have money back then. Like, we didn't have any money. Like, Chris and I, we didn't do bad, but I wasn't making any money. And like, I was already doing like fit and fat back in the day, but I was making no money. Like, we always called ourselves the best for-profit charity on the internet because we were definitely a charity. And it was just like a big deal when I bought stuff like that. And I personally had a hard time with it because I had such a story around I didn't make money. And it always felt like I was spending Chris's money. Because when I was growing up, we were just taught very differently about money. And when I wasn't working, I just like, And even when I was doing my little fit and fat stuff, I wasn't making enough money to even like buy, you know, a Kleenex. And so I remember asking the holidays for things for my little gym. So I started learning, like, how do I reward myself in new ways? How do I start rewarding myself in ways that creates the version of me that I want to be, not rewarding myself like the 250-pound version of Corinne used to. And so that became like a big shift for me. So don't be surprised if some of your old excuses either come back at certain points or if they just shift a little bit and they sound different. The key is to always be thinking about, is this an excuse or is this a reason? Can I, like, if I said I was going to do this and I'm not, is there a legit reason that I'm going to be learning how to be like, this is the kind of flexibility I need in my life? Or am I using an excuse because I just am like, don't want to do something right now? Big difference. Okay. Then the last thing is working on your environment can help you with your excuses too. And I think this is a really big, big help. So there's a lot of work we do on the inside when it comes to excuses. But one of the things that we can do is we can set our environment up to not trigger so many excuses. So just like I was saying, if I'm wearing my workout clothes, then I'm not going to have the excuse, you have to change clothes. That's going to be hard. Because that is exactly what my brain will say. If my brain, if my energy drink is sitting right there ready for me, my pre-workout is sitting there waiting on me, then when I'm done with my last call, I don't have to think, you're too tired. I can think, oh, I prepared for a tired version of me. I just have to drink that drink. So I want you to be thinking about like your excuses. If like something tastes so good and you're having it for dinner, then don't load your plate with it. And then expect yourself to want to leave a few bites behind. Serve yourself a little bit of it so that you do get to have what's tasty. But you at least, if you want to say, I just want to keep eating it because it tastes so good, you'd have to go get more. At least give yourself a roadblock. So it's like, now we're thinking about how can we engineer some things around. This is why we got to know our excuses, because then we can engineer things around setting up our environment in a way that just makes it a little bit easier to do. Doesn't mean it will be easy, but can we make it a little easier? What can we anticipate? And this is the thing I think about excuses. When you're not afraid of hearing them, because they don't mean anything about you, then you become someone who wants to be like flypaper. You want to catch as many excuses as you possibly can so that you can start coming up with, what are the things that I could do to help myself with them? Could I get to the root cause of this excuse? There's so many things that we can do to help ourselves with excuses. But if we are afraid of them, or we're just not like, I don't want to do this part. I just want to eat when I'm hungry, stop it enough. Fine. If you can do that flawlessly, then don't listen for excuses. But if you are struggling, you've got to start listening for excuses. And then we got to break them down so that you can have a better life, so that you can get the things you want, so that you can set your environment up different, so that you are prepared with things to tell yourself. We want to do all of that. all of it in a way to make it easier for you. Somebody said, somebody's walking on the treadmill now because I've been talking about exercising so much. I know, I will tell y'all, I am really good at the exercise excuse, because I have a love-hate relationship with working out. Okay? I love when it's done. I love my muscles. I love how strong I'm getting. Y'all, I was so fucking proud of myself. I got up. I am now overhead pressing 30s. Like, I can do like 10 to 12 reps now for sets. I have worked for so long to get to 30s being comfortable to overhead press dumbbells. So I get them up and then, you know, go, like, if you don't know what it is. Well, now 30s are, I do one set with 27 and a halves as a warm up. Well, I do like 10s as a warm up. In the very beginning, I do a little warm up circuit for my arms just to make sure I don't blow my shoulders. But then, like, set one, I'll do 27 and a half as a warm up. And then I do three sets of, like, at the weight I want to do. And I'm now in 30 land. And I'm like, I told Chris the other day, I said, you're going to have to man up. Like, I am at the point where I need to go to 35s. My only issue is when I pop them, I'm down here, I cannot get them up. Like, I try every week. Every week I try. And I get about right here and I just can't get out. And so I was telling Chris, I was like, you are going to have to come and you're going to have to, like, at least get me through my arm segment, my shoulder segment. Everything else I can work around. And I'm bench pressing 35-pound dumbbells right now. I want to get to 40s, but I'm kind of in the same position. It's like I can get back in my 35s and go, but I have a hard time getting out of the hole with my 40s. All right. I just went down the weight toilet with y'all. So I'll get out of that rabbit hole. But I am really good at making myself go. And I say that because I have to make myself go. I am like, if you could listen to my mind, it's like, you're too busy. You've got projects to do. There's too much to do. You're tired. I have all of the excuses. I have just gotten really good at dreading and doing, knowing that that is just part of doing some stuff. But I'm also really committed to being someone that lifts weights. And I will tell all of you, I have really adjusted my workout life. I lift weights 3 to 4 days a week now, mostly four. I want to do four, but last week I only did three. This week I'm going to do four. I only walk the other days. I rarely run anymore. I mean, every now and then I feel like, I don't know, I'll do like 20 minutes of interval runs and walks. But every 2 to 3 weeks. I just do a lot of walking. I get about 8,000 steps a day. I'm aiming for 10, but I almost always get around 7 to 8. Like, I just have decided I will always be someone that exercises, but I am doing what I would consider my personal minimum baseline now. And I'm just decided, like, when it comes to working out, what is the one that I really love? It is the lifting. It's the one I feel like I could get the biggest bang for my buck on. I like feeling strong. And so I'm just going to go all in on that and I'm letting the rest of it go. Okay, let's do some questions. Do you have any advice on how to find your purpose? I actually do, Anonymous. Let me tell you, I just screenshotted this. So funny you asked about this. I screenshotted this morning. So I just thought, that is so awesome. If you don't know your purpose in life right now, or what to pursue, this is from Dr. Caroline Leaf. She said, pursue yourself. Pursue becoming the healthiest, happiest, most healed, most present, most confident version of yourself. Then the right path for you will reveal itself. Usually that is what's standing in our way of knowing what it is we most want. It's because we have a lot of excuses that says, well, we couldn't have that, or I don't deserve that, or I'm not smart enough to do that. Like, we have all these things. And so if you don't know what your purpose is for now, just say, like, I'm going to become the healthiest and happiest version of me. I'm going to heal myself if you have healing to do. I'm going to see how I can become the most present person. I'm not always thinking about the future, and I'm not always thinking about the past. I'm always thinking about now. I'm going to become the most confident version of me. Let's do that. And then we can figure out what it is. I'll read it to you one more time. Dr. Caroline Leaf, you can go and find her on Instagram. I think she posted this. She posted it today. If you don't know what to pursue in life right now, pursue yourself. Pursue becoming the healthiest, happiest, most healed, most present, most confident version of you. Then the right path will reveal itself. Do that. Just do that. Excuse, I have a migraine and need to eat to ease the pain or make it go away. Help me work around this. Well, first and foremost, we got to like figure out, is that even true? Does it ease the pain, or is it you're eating because you feel sorry for yourself on top of being in physical pain? So that's always one question to ask first, Natalie, is to figure out that. Because sometimes when it comes to pain, what we are doing, and Kathy Hartman does a really good job of talking about this. I believe we have calls on it. If you look at Kathy's calls, we have physical pain, and those pain receptors, I believe this is how the nervous system works, are very similar to our emotional pain receptors. So if you're having a migraine and you've got like, say, you're at a level 7 in physical pain, and you're on top of that, feeling sorry for yourself and saying, I wish this wouldn't happen, and I hate this, and you know, something's wrong with me, and blah, blah, blah. Now what we've done is we've taken a level 7 physical pain and we've made it a 10. So it's going to feel worse in our body on top of we're emotionally feeling bad. So the first thing we have to do is we got to figure out, what pain are you really easing? Are you actually trying to turn down physical pain? Or are you trying to escape feeling bad because of the feeling of the physical pain, the emotional bad? That's one part of it. The second part is, does food make it go away? Like, you rarely have heard of people with migraines saying food is the only answer. A lot of times we're eating over it so that we can numb a little bit, but it's not like it usually just runs its course. So we have to be thinking about like those questions. You need to answer those though, because one, if you're having a migraine and let's say food really does cure it, food fixes it, it goes away immediately, you don't have to have any emotional pain and stuff like that, then what all foods have you been trying? If the only magic sauce is a Snicker bar or something along those lines, we have to ask ourselves, am I eating, or is it really a Snicker is the magic potion to my migraines? Or could a small salad, 2 or 3 hard-boiled eggs, would that do it? Like, what is it that we, like, maybe try some not so sexy foods and just see? Because if really it is you're having migraines and the only thing that's going to solve it is some food, then we just need to get better at the food you're going to like do. Because if that really is the case, like, this shouldn't slow your weight down. And like some people are here saying food usually triggers my migraines. Like if I'm doing chocolate, bananas, MSA, wine, and beer, I'm going to have a migraine. So Maria says chocolate helps my migraines. Okay, then can we do a small dose of chocolate? Like, have we just tried having a little bit of chocolate to see, versus I'm going to like be binging on chocolate because I not only think it'll help, but I also feel really bad that I have migraines. So that's some of the tweaks we can make. Uh, I've got a 6 pound weight gain from a road trip vacation. I'm trying to get that off before the holidays so I can get down to my next goal, breaking into the 180s. Should I experiment with dropping alcohol during the holidays? What experience do you have with this? If you want to, nobody needs to drink alcohol during the holidays. You might want to, but nobody needs to. You just have to decide, is that something you want to do? I'm not going to be drinking through the holidays. The only thing I'm going to be, I haven't had a drink. Gosh, I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud. I haven't had a drink in over a month. Like, I was telling Chris the other day, I was like, I have had no desire to drink. Like, we've been going to the bar, and I'm just like, no, I don't want to. Cause it, I just don't feel good the next day. Trust me, at 50 years old, it is not helping me 1 ounce. And so I just kind of have stopped drinking. And the first few times we went to the bar, I felt very self-conscious. Like, it was amazing to me because, like, Chris and I actually get along. And I kept thinking it's the way we connect. And I really started dissecting that. I'm like, that's not how we connect. We connect all the time at home just fine. Like, I just feel weird sitting there. And so then I went once or twice and just decided to feel weird just so I could see why I felt weird. And one of the reasons was, it's so silly, but I won't be able to tip as much. And Chris said, if you're not drinking, I'm going to tip them like I always do. I'll just tip them like you were drinking. I was like, well, all right, that makes me feel better because I know our bartenders and they don't have a lot of money and they live on their tips. And we actually pay our bartenders a lot. We, in our restaurant, if you're a server, we pay you above minimum wage. Like most servers only make $2.13 an hour. We pay above minimum wage just to, because I just think it, I was a server. I think it's unfair if you're a server and you're getting paid $2.13 because you don't always know if you're gonna have a slow night or not. So they at least should be able to cover their taxes and stuff. I remember being a server and sometimes not even getting a check because my taxes were more than what my fucking little hourly wage would cover. It's like, this sucks. So anyway, side note, but I want them to have their money. And Chris said, we can do that. And then there was like a couple other little reasons. And then it didn't take but a couple times for me to realize, like, you're only feeling weird or whatever because of just what you keep thinking. So question what you're thinking. And I've been able to let it go. Now, Jane's coming in a couple of weeks. And I just kind of have this rule where it's like, I only now want to be drinking when it's super meaningful. And so if Jane really wants to have wine or something one night, I will probably have some wine with her, knowing that the next day I don't have to do anything because I'm going to be visiting with her. When we go to Miami for Christmas, we're going to go out to dinner one night and I will probably have a drink there. But other than that, I'm just like, I think what you need to do is you need to decide, like, if I really want to get some of this vacation weight off and I think not having some drinks during the holidays would be helpful, then just try it. And just say, like, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to see what life would be like and see how that is. Yes, it is still what wait staff makes. That's what you made 35 years ago. I know. It is insane. Where did I get this tank top from? Under Armour Outlet. So you might be able to go to the underarmour.com and go to their outlet. That's where I got this tank top. I do like it. I often don't notice. Hey, Mish, go ahead and start with the questions at the bottom. I've only got 6 more minutes left. I often don't even notice I'm caving to an excuse in the moment, sort of in the vein of mindless eating. I don't realize until I'm past the point of no return. Is there something I can practice or keep in mind when in the moment that keeps the sneaky, it's okay, just eat it and it won't matter voices at bay? We're not going to keep them at bay. We actually have to turn them up. So you're trying to keep them away. That comes later. They don't go away until you have not abided by them some. So think about this with excuses. They will not go away until you don't respond to them for a while. So you have to like hear them. That's the next step. So it's not so much that you need to figure out how do I just not get them to come up anymore. It's like, no. You need to know every single day, I am probably going to think it's okay, just eat it, especially around these foods, especially at these times. Like, find the pattern. When are you saying it's okay, just eat it? Because I guarantee if I left a head of broccoli on your counter, you wouldn't walk by and be like, ooh, It's okay. Just eat it. But if I left, you know, a piece of strawberry cake laying there, you might be like, ooh, it's okay. Just eat it. You want to know what the triggers are so you know where to look and when to listen. Because you already know that those are your ones. Now we got to turn them up. It's like, when I'm standing in the kitchen, if I'm standing in the pantry, if I'm standing in here, we need to like craft for your brain. Here's when those excuses pop up. They're not mindless. Right now, you're just not hearing them. But you know what they are. And now you just got to, this is why discovery worksheets are so good, because now you can write about them. Be like, I was standing in the kitchen and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it was these foods and this was happening in my life. I need to be on high alert from now on when that excuse comes in to be like, you know, it really isn't okay. That's the conversation I got to have with myself. It's like, it is not okay just because all of this is happening. And here's why it's not okay. I really want to lose weight. And I am sick and tired of having to go to Wednesday Q&As and ask questions about stuff like this. I want to be the person that goes into the Wednesday Q&A and leaves a comment and says, Corinne, I have solved this. It is so much easier now. That's who I want to be. That's the level of conversation. Y'all got to have some level 10 conversations with yourselves. Y'all be having these level ones, which is like, well, I did that again. Guess I better do a discovery worksheet. And then you kind of just half-ass do it. You write the same shit you always write down, but you don't keep digging. You don't go to ask coaches. You don't go to the Facebook group. You're not like, I'm going to pound this problem like I was going to solve the national debt. That's what we need to be doing. Oh, and right on cue, the weed eater man is here. excuse, it's that time of the month. It's PMS. PMS causes me to overeat foods. PMS does not cause people to eat food. If so, every woman would have the exact PMS experience. This is why we have to challenge these thoughts. You're eating because you think PMS, that the only way to deal with it is with food. Spend some time thinking about, how am I going to deal with PMS without food? What do I need to do for myself other than eat when it's time for PMS? Can I just be in cramp pain? Can I just cry and watch sappy movies? Can I just lay in bed? Whatever it is. But when we think PMS is causing it, it's like, it's not the time of the month, y'all. It doesn't have magic powers. It offers up excuses. We are in pain. It could increase cravings and stuff. But y'all have to quit saying that PMS makes me eat. It's like, no. How am I going to start getting through PMS without food? What is it that I need to get through PMS without food? What could I be doing to help me with PMS without food? Solve that problem. But if all you do is sit there and say, this causes me, you've lost. Last I checked, PMS doesn't have like magic powers over us. If you were having PMS at my house, let's say you had paid to come to my house and you were going to be doing a 2-day retreat with me and we were going to be talking all things weight loss and you were PMSing, would you just be like, Corinne, there's nothing I can do. I'm going to have to go into your pantry right now and I got to raid it. I just have to. I have no options. You would never do that. You know what you'd be thinking? I'm going to have to figure out PMS because Corinne is fucking sitting right here and I paid to be here. You would just have a different, you would have a reason to not eat that you, and a solution you would come up with to deal with the exact same problem. And that's what we all have to do. Okay. I have to go. I have another call. Y'all, I will see you at Handling the Holidays this Sunday. Bring you pens, bring you best attitude, and bring you questions, and bring a friend. Y'all recommend somebody to No BS. You get a free month if you get somebody to join No BS just in time for our workshop. Just write into our support desk. I'm sure there's information in your newsletters and everything all about it. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.